Now we're taking our Bible reading for this evening from the Old Testament again, and from the prophecy of Amos. Amos chapter 6, commencing at the opening verse. Amos chapter 6 and verse 1. There the prophet says, "Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. Pass ye on to Chaldean Sea, and from thence go ye to Hamath the Great. Then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Be they better than these kingdoms, or their border greater than your border? Ye that put away the evil day, cause the seat of violence to come near, that lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches, and eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall, that chant to the sound of the viol and invent to themselves instruments of music like David, that drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments. But they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Therefore now shall they go captive with the first that go captive, and the banquet of them that stretch themselves shall be removed. The Lord God hath sworn by himself, saith the Lord, the God of hosts, I abhor the excellency of Jacob, and hate his palaces. Therefore will I deliver up the city with all that is therein. And it shall come to pass, if there remain 10 men in one house, that they shall die. And a man's uncle shall take him up, and he that burneth him, to bring out the bones out of the house, and shall say unto him that is by the sides of the house, Is there yet any with thee? And he shall say, No. Then shall he say, Hold thy tongue, for we may not make mention of the name of the Lord. For behold, the Lord commandeth, he will smite the great house with breaches, the little house with clefts. Shall horses run upon the rock? Will one plough there with oxen? For ye have turned judgment into gall, and the fruit of righteousness into hemlock. Ye which rejoice in a thing of naught, which say, If we not take unto us horns by our own strength. But behold, I will raise up against you a nation, O house of Israel, saith the Lord, the God of hosts, and they shall afflict you from the entering in of Hamath unto the river of the wilderness." Amen. God again will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. I'd like you again to open your Bible with me at the Old Testament, at the prophecy of Amos in chapter 6. We'll focus our attention upon what the prophet says in the verse 1. And he says, "Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria." That particular chapter is not one of the most pleasant chapters in the Bible, but it is a chapter that speaks some very vital truths. Truths that were not only relevant in the days of Amos the prophet, but truths that are relevant to the age in which you and I find ourselves. And no matter how you look at the circumstances of the chapter and of the book in general, you will have to come to this conclusion that there is a parallel, there is an age that Amos lived in that almost corresponds to our particular age. Amos doesn't set himself up as some great individual, but rather, he tells us that he was a simple herdsman, a cultivator of sycamore trees. Then the Lord called him. But of course, that is the principle that is laid down in the scriptures, that not many mighty are called, But God hath chosen the weak things of this world to confound the mighty, the nothings of this world to confound the things that are. And God chose this young man, a herdsman, and a cultivator of trees. You see, he says, giving a record of himself in chapter 1 and verse 1, the words of Amos, he was among the herdmen of Tekoa. He lived in a little village, Tekoa, some 11 miles away from the city of Jerusalem. He was simply a layman, a humble farmer. He wasn't even an official member of the Jewish religious system or its political establishment. In fact, in chapter 7, in the verse 14, he says this, speaking to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was an herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. At that particular time in Israel's history and that of Judah also, they were enjoying a time of great financial prosperity and material security. And they were among those people who would have said, what lack I more? Luxury abounded on every hand, and even religion was something that was very, very popular and often practiced. They would go up to Bethel, as we read in chapter 4 and verses 4 and 5. Come to Bethel. That's where they would frequently go up to worship and transgress. At Gilgal, multiply transgressions and bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years, and offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven, and proclaim and publish the free offerings. For this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. But in spite of all that, something else was eating away like a cancer at the heart of the nation. Because though there was this idea of popular worship, yet their sins were eroding the religious and moral fiber of the people. If the prophet Amos were to step out of that period of history and step into this present moment, he would feel very much at home, because he lived in a time similar to our time when society was changing radically. And Ulster society is changing radically. In spite of their material wealth, in spite of their religious fervor, everything was not well spiritually. And of course, the Bible tells us that they, as a nation, we're living under a false delusion. They felt safe. They felt this sense of security, but it was false. And Amos, the prophet, pronounces his message of woe. Folks, there is this danger of living under some kind of false security, religiously. And it was the Apostle Peter who said, give all diligence to make your calling and election sure. And Amos cried out, woe to those that are at ease in Zion. He was exhorting them, as he did in a previous chapter, to prepare to meet God. Something that every individual must do at some time in their life. And friend, I must ask you at the very outset of our message, have you ever stopped? Have you ever considered your latter end? Have you ever thought about life or about death, about heaven or about hell? Have you ever made preparation to meet God? He says, woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria. So we come to look at the chapter tonight, and the text in particular. I want to direct your thoughts to three simple things. First of all, he speaks about the description of the people. They were a people at ease in Zion. What he is actually saying is this, that these people were living under some false delusion. They were a people filled with complacency. And you know, when it comes down to the matter of religion and spirituality and salvation, there are many people, while they are never complacent in any other realm of their life, suddenly are very, very complacent about this matter. And of course, that was so with these people, and to some degree, it was due to their geography. You see, they were situated near Mount Zion, and Jerusalem was considered impregnable as far as its military defenses were concerned. They felt secure. Now, thinking of the description of this people, they are, first of all, presumptuous. That is a dangerous way to live spiritually, just to presume that all is well when all may not be well. He said there, woe to them that are these inside, who trust in the Mount of Samaria. They presumed that the Mountain of Samaria was such a stronghold and such a great fortress and a place of tremendous security that they would be safe no matter what came against the city. If the enemy came, they would be all right. In other words, they were living with this presumptuous idea that it could not happen to them. And you know, that's how many live their life day by day. The Bible says, we know not what a day brings forth, for what is your life? It's a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And when David, who was nearly killed by Saul and ran into the presence of Jonathan, he said, Jonathan, as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. And many people know that they are but a heartbeat from eternity, a breath away, and yet they feel that that will not happen to them. Others die suddenly, others are cut off, but it will not happen to them. It's a dangerous way to live, because thou knowest not what shall be on the morrow. And these people were presumptuous in their thinking. They have these mountains all around them, and they said they're impregnable and we are safe. And of course, when you talk to many people today about spiritual matters, they will soon take you to their mountains of refuge. Like one man, when I spoke to him about his soul salvation, he pointed to his church, and his church was actually in sight. And he said, that's my hope of heaven. That's my salvation. And if going there doesn't get me to heaven, well, so be it. And many have their mountains of religiosity, their mountains of self-righteousness, their mountains of good works. They presume that that will be sufficient when God beckons them from time into eternity. Hence, many like those in Amos's day are at ease in their sin. But also, they were not only presumptuous, but they were procrastinating. You see, in verse 3, Amos says, ye that put far away the evil day. They had been warned that God was angry with the sins of the nation, and that God was going to allow them to go into Babylonish captivity and to grovel under the iron heels of Nebuchadnezzar. But they thought that was far, far away. It wouldn't happen in their day, in their generation. So what Amos proclaimed wasn't vital to them. There was no sense of spiritual urgency. And they just put the matter to the back of their mind, procrastinating. It has been rightly said by the proverb that procrastination is the thief of time. And Amos is saying here is this, woe to you that procrastinate. And how many there are in the matter of salvation procrastinate. Just give me a little longer. The world, it is so bright. When I feel that I am dying, I'll get saved, but not tonight. Now, the Bible is full of people who procrastinated. Let me draw your attention just to two of them, one in the Old Testament, one in the New, and the one in the Old Testament is Lot's wife. God was going to destroy the cities of the plain because of their sins. And God even sent his angels down into the city to take her by the hand and the hand of her two daughters and lead her out of the city and out to the verge of the mountain. But there she lingered and she tarried and she looked back and she lost her soul. And her monument stands in the Bible, a monument to the peril and penalty of delay. Choosing the sinner's path, she paid the sinner's price. As all who will do, who procrastinate in the matter of salvation. And the Bible says in the New Testament, remember Lot's wife. Remember how she procrastinated. Remember how she perished. Then in Acts chapter 24 and the verse 25, we have the record of Felix, and he sent for Paul and he heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And by the way, folks, when it says he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ, literally means that he sent for Paul to explain to him the way of salvation. And the Bible says Paul preached of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. And it says Felix trembled. And there are people who are hearing God's word and the message of the gospel. They tremble, but they hesitate and they harden their soul. And though he trembled, he said to the apostle, go thy way when I have a more convenient season. I will call for thee. Now, he did call again for Paul. hoping that money would be given to him, but he never called upon him to hear the way of salvation. He procrastinated and he perished. That is the message that Amos is trying to get into the heart of these people. Woe to you that procrastinate. Woe to you that are presumptuous. And they were also a pleasure-seeking people, because in verse 4 it says that lie upon beds of ivory, stretch themselves upon their couches, eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall. Now they were doing that at the expense of other people, for whom they showed no respect. They never had it so good. You look across this land tonight, and of course, human nature being what it is, it will complain. We've never had it so hard. The truth is, we've never had it so good. So good that Ulster people now think that they really don't need God anymore. We are self-sufficient. We have much goods laid up. And they live for selves, for self, motivated by their pride. To put it into words of the Apostle Paul, who said, God is their belly. They live to eat, to drink, and be merry. They live for the moment. They were not interested in tomorrow. That's how they were living. Amos is saying, there's wrath coming. Well, if there's wrath coming, it'll not come today. They carried on in this spirit of complacency. They were not burdened about sin. You know, folks, it's my honest opinion that when nations get pleasure mad, it's a sign that the end is near. And I base that on the story of Daniel chapter 7 and the life of Nebuchadnezzar, or Belshazzar rather, his grandson. Belshazzar and his company, they were indulging just like the people of Amos' day. Eating, drinking, dancing, merriment, immorality, every conceivable sin under the sun was practiced in the palace. And that was going on when the city of Babylon fell to the Medes and the Persians, and Darius took over Belshazzar's kingdom. These people were presumptuous. They were pleasure-seeking. They were procrastinating. And Amos says, woe to you. But that's the description of the people. But then I want you to notice the description of the place. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. I believe the place where you and I live is very important. There's many young fellas who I've dealt with in prison over the past 34 years, caught up in paramilitary activity, and they would have never ever seen the inside of a prison cell had they lived somewhere else. And these people are living in Zion. Now, whatever anyone can say about Zion, it stands in the Bible as a place of particular privilege because it had the oracles of God. It had the law of God, it had the word of God, and the word of God was in every home in Zion. And can't you see, to some degree, the comparison between that and our nation, our country, where we were brought up in the scriptures, we were given it as gifts in Sabbath school, and yet much of it has been set aside by people, and even many no longer go to a Sabbath school. God's not that really important to us anymore. And sadly, that is how many live. And Zion, of course, was that particular place where God had sent his prophets to preach. They were not in ignorance. Zion was not in Ethiopia where they had not heard. And Zion was not a Sheba where no prophets had ever been sent to. It was a place of privilege. But more than that, folks, it became the place of peril. You see, Amos, a young farmer, is now called of God to talk to these people about their spiritual condition, and they're not interested. Friend, are you interested in your soul's salvation? What is it to you tonight that Jesus died on the cross for you? And he says, what is it to you who pass by, behold and see? Is there any sorrow like unto my sorrow? What is it to you that Jesus shed his blood? They were warned of coming judgment, that Zion would be severely attacked. But it was something they made light of. It was like Lot's son-in-law. When he went to them and said, up and get out of this place, for God will destroy this city. The Bible says he seemed as one that mocked. They were not. Zion, of course, was in reality a part of Jerusalem. The Bible says of Jerusalem in Matthew 23, in the verses 37 and 38, and you remember Jesus is weeping over it. And he says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Thou that stonest the prophets and killest them which were sent unto you, how oft would I have gathered you together as a hen doth gather her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and even to this day there is a scale upon the eyes of the Jew, and he cannot see that Christ is his Messiah. His Messiah coming to a barn in Bethlehem, their Messiah coming riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. We don't think so. The God of this world has blinded their eyes, lest the light of the gospel should shine unto them. And it is so with many in this province. Satan has deceived them and deluded them and taken them into a false sense of security that all will be well. It'll not be well if they die without Christ. Will not be well. The proverb says this: he who starves with bread in hand deserves to starve. That was the situation. They had been warned. He had given them the bread of life. They refused to take it. And they reaped the harvest. And isn't that what Paul tells us in Galatians? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But you and I live in days of delusion, like those people in Amos' day. And there's people who wouldn't believe that if you went out and sowed barley that you would expect to reap potatoes. They'd say, stupid man, that never would happen. And yet, when it comes to spiritual matters, they feel they can live their life in sin, reject the Lord Jesus Christ, and then think that God's going to throw open the gates of heaven to all. It's not reasonable, it's illogical. It won't happen. It doesn't happen. What we saw, we reap. The nation was sowing. Now, Amos says, you're going to reap. And we have here, finally, the delivery of punishment. In the verse 8, he says, the Lord has sworn by himself, saith the Lord, the God of hosts, I abhor the excellency of Jacob, I hate her palaces. Therefore, while I deliver up the city with all that is therein. You know, there would have been those in the city who would have been under the influence of parents. And their parents would have been amongst those who were rebellious and stubborn and wouldn't take warning. But then the Bible says, no man liveth unto himself. And their decision affected the entire nation. And Amos pronounced his woe against them. They had settled down into a life of complacency and false security. It was Christmas Evans, the great Welsh revivalist, who said, they who dwell long before coming to Christ seldom ever come to Christ. Friend, if you're in this meeting without Christ, there is a particular time to be saved. That particular time is now. God speaks nothing of tomorrow. He says, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, for today is a day of salvation. And Christmas Evans went on to tell a particular story about a blacksmith that he knew. And as the blacksmith worked in his shop, one day a stray dog came in, and the blacksmith was taking his lunch. And when he had finished his sandwich, he threw the crusts of the sandwich to the dog, and the dog ate them, and the dog lay down. And the dog came every day. But when he would strike the anvil and the sparks would begin to fly, the dog would be up and out with his tail between his legs, scared for its life. But he came every day. And he got used to the noise of the anvil. He got familiar with the sparks that flew. Until the blacksmith realized that same dog is now lying beneath the anvil. And the sparks flying round it, and it's not concerned. Like those who hear the gospel, once were stricken with its message, now it doesn't bother them at all. Complacency, ease in sin, false security. Tragic place to be. That's how it was with the nation, and sadly it fell into the hands of an angry God and into Babylonish captivity, and they graveled for years because of their complacency and sin. So it will be with all who fall into the hands of an angry God, because the Savior said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. But he also said,
Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, and that if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Friend, what is your spiritual condition tonight? Have you made your calling and election sure? Or are you living under a false sense of security? At ease and content in your sin? Procrastinating, putting off to some other day. Jesus says today, you need to come today. And friend, if you come, the Bible tells us, he says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That nation, at that time, would have none of God's reproof. They suffered the consequences. Friend, be sure you're saved.